On today's show, the guys are talking with Sammy White, or as we know her, SJ. She fills us in on the recent BET, British Education Training and Technology Show, Text Help, the State of Education in the UK, and so much more. There's also an EduTech Tip of the Week up next on the EduTech Guys. Yeah. You're listening to the EduTech Guys, edutechguys.com. Welcome to the EduTech Guys Show. I'm David Henderson.
Hey, I'm Jeff Madlock.
Yeah, man, thank you so much for tuning in, downloading, grabbing the show, however you're getting it. Thanks for plugging us into your ear holes.
Hey, remember, we're always out there staring back at you on the web. Just go to Google and type in EduTech Guys, E-D-U-T-E-C-H-G-U-I-S. I like to spell that fast because it makes me sound like I know what I'm doing. So, because I don't. I'm a terrible speller. David,
as long as you sound like you know what you're doing, that's the key right there. Just walk fast, you look important.
That's it. Stand up straight, look forward, carry yourself with a swagger.
That's right. Walk fast and carry a clipboard. People will think you're in charge.
That just gets me beat up. I don't know what that gets me beat up by teachers, mostly kindergartners. When I do that in kindergarten hall, they just beat the crap out of me.
Well, you know, they're small, but they outnumber you.
That's really true. Hey, listen, it's really great to be back and having a guest on the show. We have a great guest today. We're really excited about getting into that interview in just a bit. But I tell you what, don't forget, follow us on social media. Like I said earlier, EduTech Guys, we're everywhere. Just go to Instagram, Facebook, the whole bit. Let us know what you think. In fact, you can actually find us on Patreon. So if you're out there looking on Patreon, we have a few extra things on there that you can't get from the regular show.
Yeah.
Like some outtakes and some cuts that are different and sometimes a little more funnier than here in a different kind of, you know, kind of slap your Chris Rock kind of way. But anyway.
Wow, didn't see that coming. Oh, neither did he.
I saw a great one today. It said, you know, you can't un-Mountain Dew what you already Mountain Done. So that's where it is. Anyway, hey, you can check us out on Patreon. But I tell you what, we're going to take a quick message and we'll be right back with the interview right after this. Hey, you know, Soundtrap is a wonderful app that we use to put together shows, make quick commercials, and just use it in the classroom. It does some wonderful things, and it has a collaboration piece for your kids.
Yeah, and speaking of, it's got a wonderful feature to it called the Walled Garden, where you can actually put students into these different separated, segmented groups that protect their content from outside folks just dumping stuff in there.
Yeah, really cool stuff. Making music, doing podcasts, you know, students can create and create and create with Soundtrap at soundtrap.com. Hey, welcome back to the show. We're really excited today to have our guest on. It's been a while since we've had a guest.
Yeah, so this is awesome.
This is going to be a really fun time because this is a new friend, we hope. Well, we know it is. It's going to be a great friend, an educational friend from, I hate to be the old cliche, across the pond. But, you know, that's what it's going to be. But we're going to let her introduce herself and tell us who she is and all that kind of stuff. So here we go.
Yeah.
Hi guys, lovely to be here with you. My name is Sammy. I am an EdTech person here in the UK. I was named in the EdTech 50 in 2021 in the UK, so top 50 educator for EdTech in our teaching magazine. I hold some professional qualifications, so Google Trainer, Google Innovator, first female Google coach outside of America, I believe.
Wow.
Then I have our professional body here in the UK for higher education and college level is the Learning Technologist Association, and I hold accreditations with them as well.
Okay.
So excited to be here. I hope I've got the credentials.
Let me put an addendum to that. We're talking to a superstar. So, you know, and when we gauge this in our education, we've been around a long time and talked to a lot of people. You're a rock star. So welcome to our show.
Bless you. Thank you. Yeah. I am quite active on social media, and that's how I know you guys as well. So I am What the Trig Math on social media. So if people have ever read any of my tweets, I'm eternally grateful for that as well.
Awesome. So let's talk about what's been happening with you. What's the latest thing? The BETT, right?
Yeah, so the BET Show. So the BET Show is equivalent to ISTE here in the UK, but it covers the whole of what we call the EMEA region, so Europe, Middle East, and Asia. And it's very global, very international. Absolutely, you can tell by my voice, it was a very intense 3 days. It's taken its toll on my voice, but absolutely huge. All the big players were there. We had Canva, we had Microsoft, we had Google. We had all the small players as well. They do this thing called Bet Futures, where if you're a startup for a really small fee, you can have a stand, but you share it with lots of other people.
Right, right.
And so you can see the latest things that are coming as well and spot all the trends. Absolutely mega. Thousands and thousands of people there. And I took part in some talks and some panels, lots of inspirational leaders that come across from all over the world to share their expertise. And I was on a panel talking about the digital divide and how we can do some more about that. And then I spent most of my time, if I'm honest, working on the Text Help stand, which is where I work, because we won an award while we were there. We were named best product in the, what would be your high school market, secondary school. So we were named best product in the UK at the Bet Awards with our Equatio.
Man, you are rocking it. Top 50 educator. You work for the company who got the number one secondary education product. I mean, yeah. I think there's a common denominator. I'm going to throw this out to the folks at Text Help.
Not just that.
There's
that
a common denominator here.
Yeah. So when do you sleep? That's a question I think I would have to ask.
Well, it is currently 22:30 here in the UK, so I don't sleep.
We're sorry we have you up so late.
I'm excited to be here. That's I've been really huge cool. fans for such a long time. I think you've just got such a passion for what you do, and your shares are just so amazing. And I think anything that we can do as a network and what we call a PLN, just to connect, is just fabulous.
So I have to ask, so for you, and this is a question, you know, we do a lot of conference coverage, so we talk to hundreds of people, you know, at conferences, and we love it. We get micro, you know, conference coverage. We get micro little workshops, you know, sessions. So I have to ask you, for you, even if you go to work for Text Help, if you go to a conference to do work for a booth or you're there to interview, we always take something back for ourselves. So the biggest thing for you when you went to Bet this year, what was the big thing for you that brought you back and reinvigorated you? Because I think that's what conferences do.
Absolutely. I sort of mentioned it at the start. It was the small startups. So I'm a maths teacher by trade. There was two startups there with some really exciting apps that have like questions in there. But if the student's not getting it right, it finds another question and it just keeps going and it keeps going and it deepens that learning. And I'm thinking, that's some really clever AI you've got going on there. That's really clever learning that's happening. So that sort of thing really inspires me. The other thing that I took away was that in real life, I'm incredibly vertically challenged and very short compared to all my online friends who I met for the first time face to face. And so I took away that I am a good foot shorter than everyone else in the world.
that's not a takeaway that when you go to a conference, you ever think at all. But here's what I got out of this. Thanks. So, I want to say, though, so getting back to looking at the different startups and kind of getting to experience what you see as some of the trends, especially in UK education. What are maybe one or two of the kind of like highlights that you were like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is a thing? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great question. I think that there was a huge piece about AI as a whole. And I think what was interesting was that the narrative changed from it being this scary robot to actually something that helps us develop better. And that was a real shift in the narrative over the last 2 years. I think AI sort of sat on the fringe 2 years ago as like, do we trust it? Do we not trust it? And now we're like, oh, do you know what? Actually, that's going to make my job better. That's going to make my learning better. I'm going to be able to understand things better because a machine has learned to do it. So I've been working with a company for a long time now, and they can take handwritten maths and the machine can learn how to grade that handwritten maths. Mm-hmm. Over and over and over again. And so now when you scan in handwritten maths, and this is, you know, college level work, it will know how to grade it without the college lecturer having to grade it.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, and a kind of extending on what you had referred to earlier, where you've got the AI helping the student by figuring out where that student is falling a little short and then helping them work through whatever issue they happen to be having. And kind of like you had mentioned, you know, working backwards a little bit in order to help them move forward. And to me, that's one of those enrichment pieces that the student is able to do outside of the classroom so that when they get back in the classroom, they're not as behind and they don't get all of the feelings that come with being behind the rest of the students in the class.
Totally, 100%. And I think when you're teaching maths as well, we tend to have a natural preconception that you're either good or bad at maths, as though there's some sort of genetic ability that happens. Mm-hmm. And as we know with all learning, it is hard work. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to put the effort in for it to pay off, and maths is incredibly hard. Most subjects are hard, but maths tends to be the hardest for most students. And what I think AI is probably going to allow us to do, and I'm hoping so, and I'm seeing this in the trends, is unpick that confidence lacking, let you have that practice, that safe space at home, build your confidence up and know where you need to go to build that confidence. So like you say, when you arrive in class, you're no longer the one that's behind and you're starting at the same level as everyone else, because there is nothing worse. You know, you remember when you missed a day from school because your parents had you off for a day and you're like, I can't get back in. I don't know what they've done. I've missed one day and I've missed everything. And we are at a point now where we can start to help students combat that a bit more, but we have so much more to do, because like you say about enrichment, that comes along with mindset. And one of the biggest things that we can do as educators with all this technology, mm-hmm, is to focus on mindset and building positive mindsets towards the work that we're doing, because like I said, it is hard work. So how do we give students that drive and determination to keep going, and how do we help pick them up when they fall down? And for me, that's where teachers come in. You can throw every bit of technology in the world, but if you don't have that human element of a teacher that cares and picks you up when you're struggling, then you're not going to go very far in life. And so there's always a role for technology, but there's always a role for teachers as well.
Well, and I think what we have definitely learned that, or I hope to high heaven, we have learned that, especially over the last 2 years.
Mm, yes. Yeah, we being in that little tiny composite of, you know, we're learning hard work in place. But I have to move on to a question here. The AI, I had trouble with math completely, and I say I'm a terrible student in that area, but I'm a musician, and that was how it helped me, because all music is math. That's all it is.
Yeah.
And I mean, so I say that I love to see the AI that learns that. To me, that's where AI is taking us in every subject, is the ability to go in and find Jeff's way that he learns and the way that David learns, and how we can do that. So I believe, is that kind of, I'm segueing, is that kind of where text help, you know, comes into play, because it's trying to make it available for every student, not just in school, but I think across the world, the workplace, wherever, give them the ability to understand better.
Yeah, to be really cheesy, the tagline is, we help everyone to understand and to be understood. And I think that, you know, and we say we build things that are necessary for some but useful for all. But if we take it back, let's take it back pre-COVID. Let's go really back in time.
Okay.
If you can remember before 2020. About five years ago.
Yeah, I remember riding I rode my horse to school to work listening to Duran Duran on my Sony Walkman. So yeah, I get that.
About 5 years ago, text help came to where I was working, and they brought this product Equatio. And I blogged about this at the time, and it was like this, people used to bring EdTech all the time to work, and I'd sit there and go, mm-hmm, great. Does it work for maths? No. Mm-hmm, great. Does it work for maths? No. And it became a thing. Mm-hmm. And I was sort of known as the one that would ask the awkward questions. And they brought Equatio, and I went, oh, okay. I think that might help. And it was that light bulb moment for me. And it led me on this path of beginning to understand the challenges that people do specifically face with studying maths. And from that moment on, I had what we call a math space. So a math space is a whiteboard in space and Equatio. And that is, if you think Jamboard, if you think any whiteboarding software, but for maths. And what I built was a math space that had tens blocks, so blocks of 10 squares that students know is a 10, a tens rod. Students know one is a one unit. It also had in there coins, so it had a 10 cent coin, a 5 cent coin. And it also had in there a number line, so that if you needed to count numbers, you would know where to go. And that just pinned at the top of my Google Classroom from 5 years ago up until today. Mm-hmm. Because what that product does from Textile Equatio in the math space is, if I was in the classroom and I was going to say to you, you're struggling with maths, okay, go to the cupboard and get the blocks out and try and see if you can solve the problem with the blocks. Go to the cupboard, get the coins out and see if you can solve the problem with the coins. Go to the cupboard and get the number line out. But how do I do that digitally? And you guys across the pond are so far ahead in digital than where we are. And, you know, COVID was a huge shock to us. We weren't ready. Even those of us who thought we were ready, we really weren't ready. And so what Equatio by Textop does is it puts all those things that are in the cupboard, in the maths teacher's cupboard, digitally in the hands of the students. And they have an infinite supply of tens blocks. So if they need 10 tens blocks for one question and 50 for the next question, they're always there. And so for 5 years, that's been pinned to the top of my Google Classroom. And because that's what the product does, like you say, it bridges that gap of helping you learn how you learn. You might need the sense coins for this question, and you might not. But if you know where to go to get the help, that helps drive your independence, and it also helps you make you better at learning maths, which is ultimately what we all want.
Well, and I think one of the other key features that you sort of dance around in this whole conversation is that if a student is struggling, right, so 5 years ago, and they had to go to the cupboard to go get those pieces and parts. Well, that student is getting up in front of everyone, and now everybody in the class knows, little Dave's got to go to the cupboard and get his, you know, tens blocks. Where once it moved digitally, I can use those all day, every day, and for the most part, I'm the only one that needs to know that. And so I think that's a great confidence booster, really.
Yeah, it's totally. It's that discrete support. That's what we try and do as a teacher all the time, isn't it? We try and give that discrete support where we can. You know, you've got some kids that give you a little signal, haven't they? Like, I really need some help. And you're like, okay, I'll come to you next. And you've got some kids who sit there with a face and you just know. And that's our job as a teacher. That's the skill of the teacher. But what happens when we're not face-to-face? What happens when we're not reading those cues? How do we pick those students up, hold them tightly and say, I've still got you? Well, we can leave things in place, scaffolds, and say, here, I've left you this. Mm-hmm.
So how is the, and I'm going to jump into this where we are now. Forget the retro. We're back to present. how has it been? It's not post-pandemic. We can't say that yet, but it's changed. It's hybrid models, back in the classroom, some still at home, some the teachers have embraced online teaching. Are you seeing that in the UK? Are you seeing people embrace online teaching and realize I can leave all of this in place and it helps in the classroom? Are you seeing that?
I really wish I could say yes.
Oh.
We are in a place now where we're called living with coronavirus. Mm-hmm. And so students are required to attend just a couple of days after a positive test. They are still required to attend. And so we are pushing everyone to be back in education. And I hope that this isn't a long-term thing. Mm-hmm. But what that means is that we've pushed so hard to get back to a point where we were, that we're going to leave some things behind if we don't keep an eye in the rearview mirror. Mm-hmm. And our challenge now as educators is to look in that rearview mirror and go, yeah, okay, I understand where we're going, but what bits of this can I pack in the trunk and bring along with me? Mm-hmm. What bits of this are going to stay in my kit bag ready for the next time? Or what bits of this will just make things better for my students? And so one of the biggest things that's come out of this is that we've got more devices. We didn't have any, if I'm honest. We've got more devices now. We don't have enough. but we have more devices. And so we are still able to give that discrete support. So yeah, Dave, you know, you work on a Chromebook, everyone else works on pen and paper, but that means you've got that discrete support should you need it, but we don't know when you need it. Mm-hmm. And so we're getting to that point now. We have such a long way to go, such a long way to go. But we took a lot of battering and a lot of bruising in the pandemic. A lot of things that we thought were okay really weren't okay. And they were really brought to the fore. So like the digital divide, the lack of devices, we didn't really understand the impact of that. And we spent a long time trying to get through that. So I understand the drive to go back to where we were, but we need to keep looking in that rearview mirror and picking up the bits and packing them in the trunk and taking them with us still.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will tell you, I don't know what you have heard, you know, about what's going on in the US in terms of technology and where we are and where we've come. But honestly, a lot of us are in that exact same boat, right? There were a lot of students who they didn't have technology. They didn't have access to technology. One of the big things that we discovered over here was just how many students actually do not have reliable broadband internet service. And it was, I think it was a shock to a lot of, a lot of the people who are in government. It was a shock to people in education. It was a shock to the community. Communities in general, who, you know, especially the folks who had it and were like, what do you mean you don't have it? And we're like, no, we can't, you know, I can't do anything. I don't even have, in some cases, we have students who not only do they not have, you know, broadband wired access, they didn't have wireless access. They couldn't even do dial up. I mean, you know, there's just nothing there for them. And that was a big shocker. And I just want to quickly go back real quick and touch on one of the things you said. One of my tags this year has been, is it a mantra, a motto, whatever it is, whatever you want to call this. But to me, the three most disappointing words in education on either side of the pond has been return to, air quote, normal. It absolutely frustrates me that that's what the big push has been. Let's get everything back to the way it was in 2020. Why on earth do you want to go back to the way it was when you now see the potential and the possibilities? And yet a lot of the people who are in the, you know, power that be, they just want everything back the way it was. Just get us back, please. Can we go back to 1912? That'd be great.
Exactly, even more retro.
Right. Bridgerton, yeah, that's what it is.
What I don't get about that, though, is, right, we learn things were pretty broken.
Yeah.
We learned we didn't have devices. We learned we didn't have internet access. So we're going to push back to there. We're going to aim for that. That's our aim. If you set your standards low, guess how low you're going to go?
Mediocrity. Mm-hmm. Mediocrity is ruling it right now. Mediocrity rules. That's all we're trying to achieve is back to normal, back to make your mediocrity. I agree. And I think that that's the sad part. And you're seeing it. We're seeing it. We're seeing it in our classrooms. What we learned is, you're right, we learned what we're broken. We're learning that teaching's teaching. The vehicle for that shouldn't matter. That's what we should have learned from this, but we haven't learned that. Mm-hmm. And that to me is one of the biggest sadnesses that's coming out of this whole thing, is that we're going to try to get right back to normal, you know. But we have seen some really amazing things, like what you're showing us today. You know, David and I had not seen this.
Right.
So, you know, this is something that we're going to turn around. David's at a cooperative level. He's going to share it with multiple schools. You know, I'm going to shove it down my teacher's throat because I just found out that it's free. So, yeah, it's free for teachers, you know, and teachers, that's a big word for teachers, free. So,
yeah, all textile products are free for teachers. You're welcome to have a go. It's a big passion of the company to make them free for teachers. If you are part of the Google Trainer community, Google Innovator community, that's been free for you for a long time as well.
Wow.
It is a huge thing that we want to do, is put it in the hands of teachers. Obviously, we're a commercial company. Obviously, it's licensable.
Sure.
Obviously, if you want to roll it out, all those things. But, you know, we're not naive that, you know, you don't go, do you know what, that's a product, I'm going to roll it out everywhere, district-wide, let's go. No, it's going to become the normal way of working. You've got to love the product. You've got to love what it does for your students. You've got to see the benefits of it. And actually, the best way for everyone to do that and to benefit the students is by making it free for teachers. So we make the products free for teachers to benefit the students.
That's really cool. So now we bounced all around the digital divide. Let's get your take. So that was something that you had, you know, we're all passionate about that. I mean, that's something that this, we're the older generation now. That's sad, isn't it? So, but
I guess it depends on your point of view. I'm pretty happy. I don't know.
I feel old. You know, I miss Bowie.
You need to watch anyway. You need to watch some Gen X TikToks.
There oh, that's go. What I need to do. Yeah. Okay. Maybe I do. But you know, so let's get your take on that. Let's get your take because you're in a complete different place than our listeners in the U.S., our listeners in Australia, our listeners in Asia. We have a lot of listeners around the globe. What's your take on where we've come, where we're going, how we're going to fix this? You've definitely got your opinion.
I do. Thank you. Yeah. So I think one of the biggest things for me was I did what every great teacher did in 2020. I sent a lot of videos home to my students because that's how they'll learn. That's amazing. I'm such a great teacher. Well done, me. And then they literally turned around and went, Sammy, I've not watched your video because we don't get internet until 2 weeks on Tuesday when we get the benefits check. And then we might just have enough to put the internet on for a couple of hours, or we might have to choose to not heat the house. Mm. Literally a conversation a student had with me.
Right, right.
And that is the harsh reality. And I didn't know, and you know, guilt is on me that I didn't know that my student was presenting every day, clean, dressed, ready to learn, and going home to that situation. Mm. And so we had to do a lot of unpicking around that, and we tried dongles and we tried everything. A dongle like the plug-in as a USB that, you know, uses 4G, but then you've got rural areas where you've got no masts. Mm-hmm. And then all the bus companies were like, hey, we've got free Wi-Fi on the bus. Hey, we can't leave the house, it's lockdown. And so it sort of all just became a perfect storm. And so I started to think, what can I do as a teacher? My teaching needs to be better. I need to make this better. And so our most vulnerable students were still coming into schools and college, even in lockdown, because that was the safest place for them, mm-hmm. Rather than being at home. As sad as that is, that's where they were coming. But what we needed to do was sort of help those that were sort of not the most vulnerable, but still pretty vulnerable. And we needed to make sure we could get content out to them. And we could post content, of course we could, but then that would mean a staff member would have to break isolation to go print, to then go post it, and then all those things. And we just thought, there's got to be a better way. So I put my EdTech hat on, and I came up with creating GIFs, because a GIF file is processed as an image file on mobile data charges, mm-hmm. rather than as a video file. And so the data is cut significantly if you create a GIF rather than a video. And I started to create them just in slides, in PowerPoint or in Google Slides. In PowerPoint, you can just pull it straight out as a GIF. In Slides, you go to a website and you pull it out. Talltweets.com, big up to them, saved me during lockdown. And you put a line of text, so the first part of your answer, the first stage of the working out. And then on the next slide, you put that plus the next stage of your answer. And then on the next slide, you put that plus the next stage of your working out. And you pull it as a GIF, and step by step, the answer reveals as a GIF. And my students just absolutely loved it. Those that discrete support that we talked about, those that hadn't put their hand up and said, Sammy, I can't watch your videos, they were loving it. Those that had said, Sammy, I've got no money and I can't watch your videos, they were loving it. And those that had broadband coming out of their ears loved it, because they could do it with the sound off, because it's not got any audio on. And so they could do it while they were doing 10 other things, watching the telly, chatting to their family and doing all the things. And it then just became our normal way of working. And what we found was that I did it in the maths department, the English department did it. Everybody was absolutely doing it. And, you know, just to give you some figures. So a GIF of 10 slides of working out of a question is running at 171 kilobytes as a file size. A 95-second video is 4.6 megabytes.
Right. That is, and what a great solution. Oh, my gosh. And it's one of those things it's been there the whole time. It just wasn't being applied in that way. And that is phenomenal. Oh my gosh, there's my big takeaway right there.
That's our
I'm teaching that to teachers this summer. Well, I'll give you all the credit, but I'm telling you right now, that's already going in one of my summer workshops. Oh my God.
That's good. That's going to be one of our tech tips of the week, by the
way. That's true. That's right.
We're going to give you credit for it.
That's right. And we're sending everybody your way. So.
Yeah, and it just became the way we would communicate, but it made us better as teachers because it made us more concise. Because what we were trying to replicate in the video was that chalk and talk input at the board, and we were shoving videos out left, right, and centre. And actually, what we needed was, how do I tackle this question? What does a good answer look like? And we know all the evidence of worked examples, lightening cognitive load. We've got a charity foundation over here that says that students' learning is significantly deepened when their cognitive load is lightened, and they learn at a deeper level when a worked example is used. So this was the thing that, you know, if you think of a Venn diagram, digital divide, achieving strong worked examples, and students deepening their learning, this sort of sat right in the middle of it.
And so simple of a concept. I mean,
so that's my
brilliant.
There's my next question. The other teachers that jumped on board, how quickly did it happen? Well, you know, there's one thing that I can tell you in the U.S. and it could be everywhere. There's so many different possibilities. Getting everyone to think along the same line, especially in education, for my classroom. This is my classroom. Yeah. It's pretty hard. How did that work out, you know, in this situation?
Yeah, well, I don't know your students, and your students are different to my students, and my students are different to your students, and their students are different to their students, and it happens. I've been in what you would call an edtech coach role for many years and thrown many ideas at the wall, and not many have stuck, I'll be honest. But this one did take off, but it took off particularly with English teachers, and particularly with teachers of English as an additional language, as sort of that clear laying out of how a conversation would happen between two people who are trying to learn the beginnings of English. Or what happened was, I presented it at the National College of English as an Additional Language Conference teachers, and they leapt on it straight away, and they created a wakelet, and it's like 35 examples by the end of the day of everyone who'd been there. And it's about how to make a safe password online, and how to keep you know just rules that you need to know and follow, but then you start to understand and think about them. But my biggest advocate was my peer teacher, so I was maths and she was English. And she would do it with like her P paragraphs, point, evidence, emphasis, you know, to remind them of paragraph structures. And that still sits at the top of every piece of writing she asked them to do, because it can be inserted anywhere, because it's an image file. It sits in the docs, it sits in the forms, it sits in the chats, it sits everywhere as a reminder to them all of the rules of what they're about to start to do.
And taking up so little bandwidth and so little space.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and the speed of delivery. There's the next thing that actually happens. If I'm waiting for a video to download, my interest wanes. And kids, you know, they're worse than me. I'm pretty bad. But, you know, a GIF, boom, it's there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm still on task and on target. And that's the big deal, is keeping them moving and moving forward. That's really pretty cool.
Yeah. I'll head off a couple of issues that can potentially arise.
Good.
One is that they're not pausable, because they just continue playing.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that my students told me they quite liked that. They quite liked that they could look down at their work and pen and paper it a bit, and then look back up and see it again and check that they got it right. And almost that confirmation that it looped back round and that they'd started. The second is that it's not accessible to students with a visual impairment, but the way we build them in slides is accessible. So if you have a student with a visual impairment, the slides where you have the first bit of text, and then the next slide where you have the first bit and the second bit, and then the next slide where you have those two bits and the next bit, that is accessible to students. So if you share how you make them with students with a visual impairment, then that makes it accessible for them to engage as well.
Nice. Very nice. So I have to be the time cop here. Wrap it up. Our teachers also have short attention spans. So here's the thing. Are you planning on coming to the, when you, you know, get the ability to travel again, like we all can, is we're all waiting for that opportunity to get out of the house and move somewhere and go do things. You ever going to come over here and hit a conference like ISTE? You know, this year it's in New Orleans.
I would absolutely love to do ISTE. I'd love to do any conference. I'd love to go anywhere that anyone would have me. I would love to go anywhere. I'm so excited to travel. I've made so many friends globally over these past 2 years, and I'm eternally grateful to every single one of them because they've all added something to my professional growth, and it would be lovely to meet people face-to-face and say thank you in person.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you can consider these two guys your friends now too, because that's a
bless definite. You. Thank you.
Yes. It's been an awesome time. So for our listeners, if they want to pick your brain, steal your ideas, get in touch, or just chat, what's the best way they can get in touch with you?
Hey, that was awesome. Thank you so much to SJ for joining us today.
We're
going to
put that on the guys. The graphic. You know what, that's the interview's over. You know what time it is.
It's time for the EduTech tip of the week.
Hey, you know that's beautiful season of this, David. Yes, it's time for the EduTech tip of the week. I tell you what, I think I can now call you and become our EduTech tip of the week. And that is Textel. Check it out. Textel.com, TextHelp.com. Two of the cool pieces from that are Read and Write and Equatio. You just need to check it out, because especially for math, the Equatio stuff is really cool.
That is phenomenal.
It is phenomenal. The things that you can create and prep your kids so they have that at their fingertips for digital learning, that, you know, right there. Same thing with Read and Write. We love Text Help's motto, and that's, you know, we help people understand. We help people to understand and be understood. So really cool stuff. Yeah, it's a short text. It's a short tip of the week, but it's a great tip of the week, and you will be amiss if you don't visit the site.
That's right. So we'll have a link down in the description.
Yeah. But remember, it's easy. TextHelp.com. TextHelp.com. Hey, you know, it's been a great show.
Yes, it has, man. It was awesome.
It's great to have guests back. And if you didn't know, our guest booking is open. There are very limited slots. It is booking.edutechguys.com. So you can go out and book yourself a thing. Don't forget to find us on Patreon. We are on Patreon. It's stuff that you don't hear here. It's a little more fun.
Hear.
To be fair. So, you know, honestly, there's some great stuff out there. A lot of comedy, a lot of just, you know, outtakes and some adult fun. That didn't sound right.
No, you know. No, not at all. It's us being us when the microphones aren't on, but they actually are on.
Oh, cuckoo.
Whoops.
Hey, anyway, it's been a great show. I'm Jeff Madlock.
I'm David Henderson.
We'll catch you next time.
You've been listening to the EduTech Guys. EduTechGuys.com.